I'm saved by grace. Wonderful. Oh, I tell you what, that's a song that I love. That's a song that I love. Welcome to Open Bible Dialogue. Hey, we are going to have a great program today. No ifs and ands about it. We're going to talk about it's time to go. We're going to talk about it's time to go. I want you to know it's time to go. If ever it's been time to go, it's time to go right now. I believe that with all my heart. All my heart. Now, I'm going to do something special today. I'm going to give you seven things that God is doing. Could I say something else that I don't want you to forget? I'm going to say it over and over today. God is on the move. God is on the move. Our God is involved in this world situation, probably more profoundly than you've ever understood in all of your life. I'm going to give you seven things that God is doing, if I can get through them, through to them all. Seven things that God is doing, because it's time to go. It's time to get ready to get out of here. Are you ready? I mean, are you truly ready to go? Are you truly ready for the rapture? Are you truly ready to slip out of here without a moment's notice? No news announcements and no time to get ready. You either ready or you ain't going. You either ready or you aren't going. Well, it's good to be here today. I'm so excited about this broadcast, and I'm excited about church tomorrow. We'll be in our sanctuary. Now, we're going to take a lot of precautions. We're going to do it by the guidelines. We're going to do it in a way that you can come and be safe. Every other pew we'll be using, every other pew, we got others marked off. We're sanitizing everything. The doors are all going to be open. You don't have to touch a door to get in. There'll be a place right out under the canvas as you come in the door for you to sanitize your hands. And everybody, children included, will be required to sanitize their hands. And we're going to treat God's house with great respect. And we're going to respect one another. We're going to do the 6-foot separation, because this virus is almost over. You just don't know how close it is to being a won battle, I guess I could call it, a won victory. Oh, yes, it's close. And it's a joy to bring you this broadcast today. And you just got to come hear me preach tomorrow. You just got to come. Of all churches, that'll be safe, and that you can feel secure and you can feel safe. I promise you, you will feel safe. I won't tolerate somebody breaking the ways and the rules and the way we're doing things tomorrow. I won't tolerate it. I'm telling you right now, don't come and try me, because you won't make it. I'm telling you, we're trying to reach people. We become everything to all men, everything and every idea, excuse me, to all men, that we might by all means save some. You remember Paul saying that? And that's what I'm willing to do. Well, what a joy to bring you Open Bible Dialogue today. We're reaching a long ways on the internet, on the Facebook, on some radio stations, and everybody that's got one of these, that's got a web on it, can get the broadcast live and even see me as we do this broadcast. Well, it's going to be great. Let's go to the Bible. You know, one of the great things about a Christian is they know their Heavenly Father, and they understand the things about Him that are so breathtaking. Your Heavenly Father is in charge of this global situation. Your Heavenly Father can, literally, He is the master of it all. He rules in the universe from the upper to the lower. I mean, from the stratosphere to the global sphere, my Father rules it all, and you can trust Him, and you can know He's on the job, and He's doing what is His responsibility, what His call, and what He is. He's doing what He is to do. Great is the Lord. I love these words. The psalmist David said of in 48, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountains of His holiness. Oh, I love that. I think about that when I quote it often in the mornings in my prayer time. I'll quote it and I just want to go and be there. I just want to go and be there. Do you ever think about wanting to go and be there? I'm telling you, there's nothing that ought to just completely possess you like the greatness of God. Great is the Lord. Great is our Father. And greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountains of His holiness. Beautiful for situation is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. God is known in her as a refuge, the Bible goes on to say. God is a refuge. God is your refuge right now. I'm telling you, God is your refuge. I hope you memorize that. That's Psalms 48, 1, 2. Psalms 48, 1, 2. That ought to be part of your thinking every day of your life. I'm telling you, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountains of His holiness. I love that. Well, let's go to another great passage in Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 15. Everybody ought to memorize this one too. This ought to be fixed up here to your upper canyon, you know, this upper story. It ought to be fixed in there where you can say it any time that there's a need. For thus saith the High and Lofty One. When I read that for the first time and really memorized it some months ago, I shouted. I mean, it was thrilling to me. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. I love it. For thus saith the High and Lofty One, who inhabiteth eternity. Notice that. He inhabits eternity. He doesn't exist within eternity. He is eternity. He is eternity. He inhabits eternity. And holy is His name. I like that. For thus saith the High and Lofty One, who inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in a high and lofty place, He said. I dwell in a high and lofty place. But He goes on to say something else. And with Him who is a humble and contrite spirit. So the God who inhabits eternity, the God whose name is holy, the God who dwells in a high and holy place, the God who can speak of His eternal heaven as the city of the living God, the mountains of His holiness, that God wants to dwell in you. And He wants to be manifest to you. And He wants you to trust Him. And He wants you to know that He is God. He is my Heavenly Father. Could you say that with me? My Heavenly Father. I mean, He's a Father in every degree of the thinking. Oh, the fatherhood of God is one of the great truths of this Bible. For God the Father so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. Give God some attention, my friends. Give God your love and worship and praise. Learn to know Him. Pray until He becomes an acquaintance of yours, and you become an acquaintance of Him. Remember when Moses was being persecuted by his brother and his sister, God appeared to them and said, I talk to you in revelations and in different ways, but I talk to Moses face to face. Mouth to mouth, God said. I mean, I'm telling you, God wants to know you. He really does. He wants to know all about you. He wants to be acquainted with you. And I've made up my mind in these latter days of my life that I'm going to know Him like I have never known Him. That I'm going to have an acquaintance with Him. That I'm going to have His faith rooted in me and His wisdom rooted in me. So that I'm not just Joe Chambers. I can become a real servant of the great and wonderful Father. Do you know Him? Do you love Him? Do you really know Him and do you love Him? Well, listen, it's time to get ready to go. It's time to get ready to go. I had that up and I had to leave it because something clicked wrong on my computer. So I had to move on without it. But I want you to know something. It's time. Get ready to go. Getting ready to go. If ever it was a time of getting ready to go, this is it. My dear friends, this is it. Are you getting ready to go? Are you getting ready to go? Well, I want to deal with these seven things. I'm going to take them one at a time and try my best to help you grasp them, okay? So let's begin with number one. What is happening in our world? Why are we seeing all this calamity? Why is the whole world in this situation? I mean, the whole world, the whole globe is in the same dilemma at the same time, and they're all working. And I hear some good signs. I think they're going to have something for this problem very shortly. The world needs it. Now, people who know Jesus have the healer. He works. He lives inside. My healer is in the house. He's right here right now. My healer has been healing me for so many years until I trust him totally and utterly. I have no reason to doubt him. But the world needs something, and I'm for helping the world. And it looks like they've found something that's really going to be the answer. I read about it this morning. I was overwhelmed by it. I really was. And listen, things are going to get better. God's going to help us. God's going to help us. Do you understand? But there's seven things I want you to get in your mind. One of the things that I want you to know, this great calamity didn't happen by accident. It did not. You say it was an accident in China. Well, it may have been an accident to them, but it wasn't an accident to my father. I'm here to tell you, God is judging this planet Earth for killing unborn babies. If there's any reason this calamity happened, it's the killing of unborn babies. Have you read in your Bible recently of what happened to Israel when they started worshiping Moloch? And what did they do when they worshiped Moloch? They fed their little children to Moloch to satisfy his wrath. They would take the prettiest little girl among the community, shining with golden locks and blue eyes and whatever. I mean, they had to find the prettiest or the finest, handsome little fella, maybe a year old, maybe 6 months old, maybe 2 years old. They take these kids and they would feed them to Moloch. Now, Moloch was a great fire. And so when they fed them to Moloch, of course, they were instantly consumed. Their life was snuffed out and they were destroyed. And this was Israel's gravest sin. They were feeding their children to Moloch. And we've been feeding our children to Moloch for 60 years, somewhere close. 60 years, I mean by the millions. And God demands justice when we do things like that. And this great wrath of plague has been justice required of God, of a mindless people who would allow such to happen. You say, I'm not guilty. If you didn't scream about it, you're guilty. If you didn't cry out against it, you're guilty. That's what the Bible says. The Bible looks for men and women who will weep over the insanity of the wicked. God's looking for godly saints who are repenting for the fellow man who's done these horrible deeds to little boys and girls. And you've got to understand from Brother Chambers that this plague was the result of killing babies. Now, I know there's a lot of other stuff in there. I could name so many things that are part of God's wrath against the people of this generation, but I don't think anything matches killing unborn babies. What can you compare with destroying little children, often in the womb, and many times a partial birth, where they bring their heads out and suck their brains out before they're fully born, and so they're born dead because the doctor kills them? And mama's, I'm sorry. But God requires blood for this kind of sin. You got to hear me when I say it. So number one of what's happening in our world is the destruction of mankind because of his wicked ways. And at the front end of that wicked way is the killing of unborn babes. Oh, I tell you, will you join me in repenting for our culture for that? Will you join me in repenting for our politicians for that? Will you join me in repenting that our preachers, how many preachers have we got that have never preached against this in their pulpit? Never preached against them. Hey, run off somebody. Yeah, they need to be saved is what you need to do, is go after their salvation, preacher friend. But don't let this kind of things happen that men of God don't cry out with a great longing against the sin and the wickedness. Please don't feel bad at me for this. I'm telling you, we have paid for it now. We are still paying for it. And maybe shortly it's going to be over temporarily. But I'm telling you, it will never be open until there's true repentance and there's true forgiveness. Help me. Let's pray for revival, that men and women will get forgiveness for this horrible sin. Now, that's number one. That's number one. God is on the move. I'm going to say that over and over all during this broadcast. God is on the move. If you think God's sitting up there twiddling his thumbs, rocking in a rocking chair, riding a roller coaster, I don't care what you think about him. I'm telling you, he's the God of this universe. And he's deeply and profoundly moved and involved. And this world is his. It belongs to him. And God is in charge. Are you hearing me? God is in charge. And God has a complete concept of it all. Now, number two, God is concerned for the unsaved. God is burdened. He calls the unsaved of the earth the precious fruit of the earth. Now, Brother Chambers, you're contradicting yourself. You're saying that God's judging the world for killing unborn babies. Then you're saying that God loves that man, a woman, that doctor, or that mother, or whoever, that nurse, anybody that is part of this abortion industry. You're saying God loves them. He does. He does, and he wants to forgive them. He wants them to repent. He wants them to turn to him. He wants them to get right with him. God doesn't will that anybody spend eternity in hell. I don't care how vicious and how mean and how godless they are. God cares for the wicked. And God's son died for the wicked. He didn't come to save the righteous. He come to save the wicked. Did you know he said that? Did you know that the Lord said, I didn't come for the righteous, I come for the ungodly. I come for the unsaved. This is just why he came. The truth of God is a mystery. That he could hate sin and love the sinner at the same time. And as much as he hates sin, he loves the sinner. His love for the ungodly is as pure as his hatred for their wicked ways and their wicked lifestyle. God loves the wicked. And he wants them saved. His son didn't die for good people. His son died for the rascals. His son died for the wicked. His son died for the godless. His son died for the most impure, the most godless person that exists on the face of this earth. I was at a Jewish meeting one time. I went there and had supper with them on a Friday night. After the supper, they wanted me to answer questions. And I was to talk to them about how to get to heaven. About heaven and how to go there. And you know what I preach? I preach Jesus. I preach him as the only way. Well, when the question and answer time came, a Jewish man said, Reverend Chambers, tell me if Hitler would have repented, could he have gotten saved and right with God? Would the church have allowed him into their membership if Adolf Hitler would have repented of killing my Jewish friends and families, you know, the millions he killed? And I said, you know, you're asking me a loaded question, but I'm going to give you a good answer. I'm going to tell you my opinion of Adolf Hitler is he's so wicked. He's so given to wicked ways. He's so given to sin that he probably has nothing in him that would ever call him to repentance. My opinion of Adolf Hitler is he'll spend eternity in hell because he was a wicked man. But I'm gonna tell you plainly and clearly, if he could have come to his consciousness, if he could have saw what a godless character he was, if he could have saw the misery of how he was treated your Jewish families and Jewish friends and Jewish members, if he could have saw that and he would have repented, he could have got saved. And the Lord would have saved him. And the Lord would have forgiven him. Unless maybe he had blasphemed the Holy Ghost until God had left him. Well, that would be the same state as I just said. He was so wicked and godless that he had passed the point of repentance. And I'm sure he probably had. But I'm telling you, if he could have repented, the Lord would have saved him. Aren't you grateful that this God who hates sin, who cannot stand the killing of unborn children, is the same God who gave his son to die on a cross and is ready to save you and make a new person out of you? And I'm telling you, you are getting your last chance. You are getting, I'm going to say this slowly because I want to be heard. You are getting your last chance. Now, this chance may have a little time in it. It may be a few weeks. It may be a few months. It could even be a few years. I doubt it's a few years, but I'm not going to suggest it can't be because God is in charge of the schedule. Not Brother Chambers, but God is in charge of the time schedule. But I'm telling you what I believe by the Holy Spirit, that you are getting your last chance to escape those 7 years of dark tribulation that's coming on this world. And if you think this plague has made you miserable, I'm here to tell you, you don't even know what misery is. You get left in this world of 7-year tribulation, and the saints of God are gone. The rapture has taken place, and you're here trying to survive. It's going to be hell on earth, friend. It's going to be so miserable. I try often to tell people how bad it's going to be, and they don't pay me no attention. But maybe this plague, maybe this epidemic, maybe this has awakened some people to see it can get bad. I went and eat breakfast at a Waffle House this morning because I've been having to cook my own, eat oatmeal, some kind of instant food, you know, and I love a good breakfast. I like a steak and egg once a month, maybe. No more. Once a month. I went and ate breakfast this morning at a Waffle House, and you know, somebody left there, and before they left, they paid for my breakfast, and the waitress come after they'd gone. I would have went, and of course, we couldn't shake their hand, 6-foot, you know, social distancing, but I could have went and thanked them. Well, I knew they'd paid for my breakfast, so I called the cook over. He always cooks my steak just right. He has my recipe for it. I called him over and gave him a $5 bill. Then I called the waitress to give me some change. I didn't have any more change. I said, I got to take care of you. I gave her a $5 bill. So I basically gave there was $2 or $3 more that the man paid for my breakfast, but I wanted to bless somebody with my blessing. I hope you learned that. Don't ever get a blessing that you don't bless somebody with your blessing, okay? Every blessing you get ought to be shared with somebody whom you're trying to bless. I'm off my subject right now, but I'm telling you, sinner, it's time for you to repent. It's time for you to turn to God. Why don't you do that while I'm talking, while I'm right here? And come in the morning. You say, can I pray in your church in the morning? You better believe you can. You can pray any time in this church. You come before when this program is over. The door's locked right now, because I know sometimes street people will just walk in right in the middle of the program, and I'm here alone. But I'm here to tell you, you come, we'll help you find Jesus, and he'll come into your life, and he'll forgive you of those horrible sins. Nobody listening to me that cannot be forgiven of your sins. And this is your last opportunity to miss the 7-year tribulation period. Are you hearing me? This is your last opportunity to miss. That's number two of what my God is doing. God is on the move. God is on the move. He's judging, killing unborn babies and all other sins. And God's reaching for the sinner. God's reaching for the unsaved. Now, number three, I want to tell you something else. The church world is full of lukewarm Christians that are nothing more than pew warmers. I mean, they've been saved. They've known the Lord, but they've quit praying like they should. Half go to church. I'm not talking about right now. I'm talking about in the normal. If they go, it's just Sunday morning. They don't care nothing about Sunday night and Wednesday night Bible study and prayer meeting. And they're just lukewarm. And many of them aren't even lukewarm anymore. They're just plain cold. And the Bible says those kind of people are not going in the rapture. Did you know that? If you look warm, you're not going in the rapture. If you've left your first love, you're not going in the rapture. You got to hear me for that. I don't know anything else to tell you but what the Bible says. If I tell you what the Bible don't say, then I become guilty, and I have to answer to God. And I got to be honest with you and tell you, church members and church people all over the church landscape, it's time for you to get yourself in an altar somewhere and get yourself removed and reproved and straightened out and back full of the Holy Spirit again and back on fire for God, or you're going to miss the rapture. The majority of the church is not ready for the rapture. I would suggest at the best 90% of the church would not go right now if the rapture would take place. Don't mean you're not saved. Don't mean at some point or another you didn't get washed from your sins. But you see, you can't just get washed from your sins and drift into heaven. This is not a downstream experience. This is an upstream experience. You got to grow in the Lord. The Bible says it over and over and over. I mean, read the Bible if you don't believe me. The Bible over and over tells you, quit playing around and get yourself on fire with God. If you walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sins. Listen to that. If we walk in the light, if we walk in the light, this is light. Jesus is light. Prayer is light. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. We enjoy the saints, the Christians, the believers. I hear people say, I'd go to church, but there are too many hypocrites. Well, you can either go to church with them hypocrites, or you can go to hell with them hypocrites, because you've got to do one or the other. I'm here to tell you, you can't get around it. You can't get around it. I'm crying out to you. I love you. Oh, please hear me this morning. Oh, this afternoon, I'm sorry. But morning some places. Listen to me. It's time to get yourself on fire again. Get yourself on fire. Don't let the day pass. If I was cold and lukewarm, I'd go somewhere right now and find me a prayer place. And I wouldn't get up till I prayed through, brother. Till I prayed through. I hear preachers saying you can't pray through. That's because they're so backslid, they can't pray through. Or they would know you can pray through. My friend, you can pray through. You can get a hold of God. God will change your life. God will set you on fire. God will make something fresh out of you if you want it. Now, that's number three. God, the Lord. I said God is on the move. What is God doing? God is judging the baby killers. God is reaching for the wicked. God is calling out to the church to get ready to go. Get ready to go. Get ready to go. I can hear it all week. I've heard it over and over. Just flooding my mind. Tell the world, get ready to go. Tell the church, get ready to go. Tell the unsaved, get ready to go. Tell them, get ready to go. It's later than you think. And I'm crying out to you. That's number four. That's number four. And it's so powerful. Number three, I'm sorry. Let me tell you number four. Now, you got to hear this. God really poured these into my heart, one after the other. I didn't get them from somebody. I got them praying. I got them crying out to God. And number four, you got to hear this. You got to hear this. The devil, the Antichrist is in our world. And God has removed the mask off his face. God has removed the mask off the Antichrist's face. You can't even look at the newspaper, hardly, maybe sometimes, but not often, and not see something that represents the Antichrist. Look at Pelosi sitting behind the president at an event that is one of the most memorable events of American history. And that's the yearly words and repeat of the president as he gives a report of what's happening in the nation. And she sits behind the president and tears up his report and treats him with utter disrespect. She blasphemes the man. She blasphemed the man. She was a perfect picture of the Antichrist. The Antichrist mask was being jerked off. So you can see in the political world, and some of it in the Republican Party, just like the Democrat Party. If you think I'm just picking on the Democrats, oh no. I'm picking on any politician who's not reporting and representing his constituents back home and doing the job of a man who is responsible to the Constitution and responsible to the future of America. Oh, there are many of them anymore. Washington is like a den of thieves. Washington is full of the most crooked people. All they care about is money. All they care about is their own prestige. All they care about is what am I going to get out of it. Many people enter politics just to get wealthy. If you knew how many people in politics got wealthy after they got into politics. I mean, you know them. I don't have to name them. You already know it. All you got to do is look on the web and you learn it if you don't know it. I'm here to tell you God has taken the mask off the Antichrist. God has taken his mask off. I'm here to tell you, you saw it in this very how do I say that word all of a sudden? You saw it in this plague that has gripped America. It was a picture of the hatred of the Antichrist and the Antichrist ready to destroy people by the millions. You see, all of this kind of thing came out of wickedness. This kind of thing didn't exist before man sinned. This thing didn't exist before men turned against God. These kind of things didn't exist before people went after their own wicked ways. The Garden of Eden was created in perfect beauty. It was a righteous place, a holy place, until Adam and Eve sinned against God and broke his laws. America was created to be a righteous people and to represent his love and to be a blessing to the world. And we have been. But look at the wickedness that's taken the heart out of America. That's reducing us to a land of scheming and money making. And wickedness and immoral lifestyles, the beer joints. Do you realize that many states opened the liquor stores and wouldn't even open their churches? Did you know that? You had governors that opened liquor stores that wouldn't open churches. I mean, I heard that yesterday I heard the president say it. He said you open abortion clinics and liquor stores, but you won't let churches open. Isn't that amazing? I was listening to the governor from Texas, and he said, folks, I got a good example of what's going on. He said, let's use the example I call the watering hole. The watering hole. He said everybody's going to the grocery store. Everybody's buying groceries. Everybody's got somebody going to the grocery store. We all are dependent on the grocery store. And there's not been a bit of this clicking out of grocery stores. Nobody has identified as this arising in a grocery store. Nobody can put the grocery store accountable for this plague. He said, folks, think. Get your head on. Think. I thought he was grand. I really did. Really did. A good man. A good man. Governor of Texas. Now, I'm telling you, we live in such a day that the mask has been taken off the Antichrist. The mask has been removed. Look with your own eyes. Don't take my word. Watch the people you work with. I have so many people coming to me, and they say the workplace is no longer like it used to be. You better not cross a line. You better watch yourself. Everything is clicking in favor of the business. Well, the Bible said this would happen. Read Zechariah chapter 5 if you want a picture of the Antichrist world. It's an overwhelming picture. Zechariah chapter 5, a wicked world, a wicked world. And our world has become that. And gradually it's just got worse and worse and worse. And all I can say to you is God has shown us that he's removed the mask from the Antichrist. The Antichrist no longer is head. He's visible everywhere you look. You can't pick up the paper. You listen to people on radio, and they'll use the foulest language right on radio and television. They'll say all kinds of words. I've even really gone after the president, our present president, because of some words I've heard him say. And I said, there's no excuse for that. There's no excuse for that. So don't think I'm going to, judge lightly those who happen to be some that I like and see good in. No, no, no. All of us are sinners until we're saved by the blood of Jesus. And all of us do the dumbest things when we live in sin, when we're controlled by sin. So I cry out to you, turn to Jesus. Turn to Jesus. Turn to Jesus. So number four, the mask has been taken off the Antichrist. Now, number five. And you got to listen to this. You got to hear this carefully. Do you know in the past how much people loved God and how much they talked about heaven and the kind of respect they had for the absolutes of the Bible? Everything that talks about God used to be, the love of Americans. I remember when I started this open Bible broadcast in 1972, I think it was. 1972. And I remember I could not get even close to all the phone calls that I would get. They would come at me. Just everybody was hungry for the Bible. Everybody was hungry to know more about God. Everybody was hungry to know about spiritual things. That's past. That's past. Do you hear me? Amos says it. Well, we have a terrible plague today of the absence of hearing the word of God. And we don't love God like we used to love him. We don't think about heaven. How long has it been since you thought about going to heaven? How long has it been since you just dreamed of that day when you would walk the streets of gold and enter the pearly gates? How long has it been? See, we have seen the world create a different God, a God that's earthy. A God that's no longer heavenly, but earthbound, earth contaminated, earth overwhelmed. The preaching that's been going on today, they never get up there and go to shouting, telling you all about heaven and how if you get saved and give your heart to Christ, you'll have an assurance of eternal life. And talk about how wonderful God is and how great it is to know him and that you can talk to him and pray to him and he hears you instantly, immediately when you pray in faith and heart surrender. Oh, you see? So we've got a new God. He's an earthen God. He's an earthen God. He's no longer a heavenly God. How long since you really enjoyed a sermon all about heaven? Most of you have never heard a sermon about heaven. I have people saying to me all the time, I was telling so-and-so about the 7-year tribulation period, and they didn't know what I was talking about. I was telling them about when we go to the marriage supper, and they didn't know what I was talking about when I talked about the marriage supper. They didn't know what I meant when I talked about a city called New Jerusalem that's 1,500 miles high and 1,500 miles in both ways. Get it all here. Listen, the world don't know none of this. They know so little of these great things of the book of Revelation. Most preachers won't even preach the book of Revelation. You say to them, why don't you preach the book of Revelation? Well, I've heard them actually say, well, all of us wasn't given the responsibility of preaching prophetic things. Only a few people have that gift. And they were alluring to me in that particular meeting because I'd preach to them a sermon about Revelation. I do it everywhere I go, usually. And they said, not all of us are called for that. Oh, I'm sorry, friend. If you're a preacher, you were called to preach the whole Bible. You were called to preach Genesis to Revelation. If you can't preach Revelation, it's because you're too stinking lazy to get somewhere and get along with God and study that book until it comes alive. Now, you see, the Bible will come alive in you when you really dig into it. It'll just come alive. It will so thrill you. I've seen many times when I'd stay up studying to 1 and 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning because I got on fire with the Bible. It was stirring my very soul. It was stirring my very life. Hallelujah. So that's number 5. Don't you forget that. Don't you forget that. That we live in a world that you hear so little about God. And you just ask somebody this. We go around among people you work. Have you ever heard about heaven? Well, yeah, I've heard the word. Do you know anything about the city of New Jerusalem? No. Do you know anything about the tribulation that's coming after the rapture? I don't even know what the rapture is. I mean, go and ask them. Ask a few people to find out what's going on. I challenge you to do that and see what you find out. You're going to be amazed. You're going to be amazed. So, our world has chosen an earthen God. Did you know that's the part of getting ready for the tribulation period? That's the part of it. The God of the Bible will be utterly blasphemed all during the 7 years. If you get right with God during the 7 years, they're going to track you down and kill you and destroy you. The Bible says those that are saved in the tribulation are saved because they love not their life unto death. They love not their life unto death. They were ready to die. They were ready to die. If you get saved during the tribulation, you got to be ready to die. And if you don't get saved, you're going to go into the pit of eternal damnation and hellfire. So you won't have a choice. If you know anything about God, you're going to have to get ready to serve God and die with it. I mean, that's how rough it's going to be. That's how terrible it's going to be. You've never heard it? Well, I'll take you right through the Bible and show you so much, everything I'm saying, and show it to you over and over and over and over and over. It really is just that wonderful, and it's just that bright, and it's just that beautiful. So, you remember, the world has turned away from God. The world has turned away from heaven. The world has forgot about the coming of the Lord. The world has forgot about the great rapture. Do you know I can remember? It's been about 20 years ago when a study was done of Americans, and they found that nearly 80% of Americans believed in the rapture. They believed that Jesus was soon coming. They believed that we're going to be caught up to meet him in the air. And that's only been 20 to 30 years ago that I saw that in the Charlotte Observer. I remember specifically, it was a beautiful article. I made big comments about it. I was thrilled to see it. But oh, if you could just know the difference today. It is overwhelmingly different. So, that's number 6. But there's the number 7. You got to understand, there's the number 7. And that number 7 is the one I put up on Facebook today. I've done one a day since last Sunday through today, 7 of them. And number 7 is God is about to reveal himself to our world. God is literally going to come down. You say, Brother Chambers, you scare me to death. I hope I scare you to salvation, not to death. I hope I scare you to the altar, not to death. I hope I scare you to Jesus, not to death, because I'm not trying to scare you to death. I'm trying to scare you to Jesus. And I'm telling you, the Bible says, and Isaiah prayed this, oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down. Show thyself, that thou wouldest come down and manifest thyself. Hallelujah. The psalmist cried out, come down like rain on the mown grass. Look at the day of Pentecost when the Holy, that was God coming down, friend. That was God coming down. You got to understand, God has invaded this world on numerous occasions. That's the beauty of reading your Bible and seeing where God revealed himself. Well, God is about to reveal himself. God is, I'm not talking about seeing God in his facial presence. I'm talking about the glory of his presence. I'm talking about God coming down until nobody will doubt that God has invaded our world. The Bible said the nations of the world will see him and honor him. The Bible said the war of Gog and Magog would occur right in there. I got a grandson in Germany, and I've been so worried for him because Germany is going to be obliterated. They're going to be obliterated when that great war of Gog and Magog occurs. And there's so many things like this that people don't even know. And I'm here to tell you, friend, God is going to come. God's going to come down. Let me say it right. God is going to reveal himself. God is going to manifest his presence. God is going to show himself. Now, what I want to do, I've enjoyed. Oh, I've enjoyed this. You can tell that these are things that are rooted in me. I've studied them and I've dug in them until I understand them and I know them and I love them. They're part of my life. I live in this Holy Bible. All of you probably know that I'm having a terrible trouble with blindness. I mean, my eyes going out on me. Well, I'm claiming a healing. I'm claiming a healing. I don't doubt for a minute God's going to heal me. I really don't doubt it. You ought to be praying, God heal me. Let's go to the book of Acts chapter 2, and let's look a little bit here. And I want you to see what God's going to do. Now, this has not happened. It is documented. No time has this happened. This is Peter on the day of Pentecost. And he was, of course, right in the middle of the early rain, and he's talking about the latter rain. And he says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God." Now listen to that. "It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God." You study that word last days, and it's the last of the last. The last of the last. In the last days. This has to be the last days. This has to be the last days. "I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh." I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. "And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Young men shall see visions and your old men shall dream dreams." I'm in the dreaming dreams category. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, "I will pour out in those days of my spirit and they shall prophesy." Now listen, "I will show wonders in the heavens above." How you wait. Could start tomorrow. I'm looking for it any day. Where will it occur? I don't know. It'll probably occur a lot of places. The world will eventually see it. Maybe by the newscast. I don't know how they'll see it. But God's going to reveal himself. "And I will show wonders in the heavens above." And signs in the earth beneath. Blood and fire and vapor of smoke. "And the sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon into blood before, now notice that word before the great and notable day of the Lord's come." Now that great and notable day of the Lord's come is at the end of the 7-year tribulation period when Jesus actually mounts a white stallion and leads the whole rapture company that were already in heaven because of the rapture. Because of the tribulation saints, because of all the events of the 7-year tribulation period, and Jesus will return from heaven riding a white stallion. And he will come back, and the Antichrist and the devil, he will defeat in Megiddo. That's north of Jerusalem, the land of Israel. You see, I say here in the scripture, hey, I missed one of my points, by the way. I got to go back and get it. Number 6, I missed it. That's the New World Order. Did you know that new? Let me just stop here so that I don't miss it. The New World Order is number 6. How did I get over that? I don't know. Just going like a speed. And the New World Order is here. There's only two nations that's not deeply a part of the New World Order, and that's America because of Trump and Israel because of their leader, Benjamin. Trump and Benjamin has kept America and Israel from being actually a part of the New World Order. The Democrats in the Congress, the Senate, and the House, they hate Trump because he will not be a part of the environmentalist and the New World Order. I mean, that's the biggest thing going on in Washington, is you have a president who doesn't believe in that One World Order. He doesn't believe in becoming nationalistic and giving up American heritage and American uniqueness. He believes America was sent here to be a blessing to the world, not to fall under the leadership of the United Nations and that wicked crowd who run many different organizations connected with the One World Order. We are in the One World Order. We just have a president who's kept us partially, notice I said partially, out of that One World Order. Israel is out of it because they have some spiritual consciousness. They know what's going on. And here we are, number six, the New World Order is alive and well right now. Alive and well. And there's some benefits that come with the New World Order. This new medicine they found that kills that virus that we're dealing with. I mean, it kills it dead. It sounds like it's going to be an absolute wonderful thing. But I'm here to tell you, it's coming because this One World Order is bringing all the world together. It's getting ready for the Antichrist. See, the Antichrist is going to rule a One World Order. And nobody will be able to buy a sale on the face of the earth unless they're part of the One World Order, unless they've taken the mark of the Antichrist, unless they've become one with Him, unless they worship this earth and God. Oh, folks, I'm not bringing you hearsay. You that know me, I have been preaching these truths all these years. From the time I began to study, I started studying Revelation when I was pastor in Black Mountain. I was there from 64 to 68. I studied the book of Revelation. I lived in it until it became a part of my life. And now I understand it. I live in it. It's a precious book. I love every inch of it. I love every bit of it. But I'm here to tell you that One World Order is here. It just is not in total dominance yet. And it doesn't have the man of sin over it yet. When the rapture takes place, it will quickly move into the hands of one person, an Antichrist person. An Antichrist person. He'll have people helping him and part of his schemes, and it will go under their power. It's going to happen quickly. See, look, you go back January. We couldn't dream of America having the difficulties we've had. You couldn't dream of many people being unemployed. You couldn't dream of as many people having to go and stay in their homes. You couldn't dream of the church being shut down all across America. You couldn't dream of it. It happened almost overnight. Just bam, 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 and we're there. See? Well, I'm telling you, it's fixing to be bam, 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 louder and clearer and more universal than it's ever been. But some degree of sanity is going to return. Some degree of sanity in a Holy Ghost revival. A Holy Ghost revival is fixing to come. It has to come. The only way we can survive a few more years is this Holy Ghost revival and people getting right with God. America will probably be a watchword to the world as revival sweeps across this nation. You got people, I heard him yesterday from Dallas, Texas, Brother Jeffries. I've met him, wonderful man. Pastors of a big church in Dallas, and he's really been strong on these things. I talked with him when I met him. I said, Brother Jeffries, you got a Pentecostal air about you. He said, when I was a little boy, my dad used to take us to the Pentecostal church all the time. We'd go to our church on Sunday morning and the Pentecostal church on Sunday night. If you heard him yesterday with the president, that's him. Met him personally. We talked about these things and we really became friends. I'm here to tell you something, folks. We are living in a spectacular hour. It really is. Now, are you hearing, Brother Chambers, today? Seven things that I gave you. Number one was killing unborn babies. Number two, he's reaching for the unsaved world. Number three, he's trying to get the church back ready to go in the rapture. Number four, the face, the mask of the Antichrist has been removed. Number five, the world is worshiping an earthen God and no longer the sacred God. A One World Order. Number six has arrived. And number seven, God is fixing to arrive. God's fixing to show himself. God's fixing to reveal himself. Now, I haven't taken time or even looked to see if there's any phone calls. Last week, I forgot one thing to cut it on, but it's on today. So you can call me, 704-391-0588, 704-391-0588. You call me if you would. Here's a phone number, 704-391-0588. Give me a call. Let me answer some questions, would you? Let me help you. Do you understand everything I said? Seven things God is doing, and God's doing them right now. I believe with all my heart the Holy Ghost showed me all of that. It didn't come out of my noggin. It came out of the Holy Spirit moving and ruling in my heart. And I'm telling you, the hour is late. It really is. So I'm waiting for some calls. I'd love to have some calls. I'm going to try to get this phone here where I won't miss them. I hold it in my hand. Maybe I can feel it buzz. I have such trouble. I get to talking, and I'm a gung-ho man when it comes to talking about the things of God. I love them. I deal with them. I live in them. They are my life. Do you hear me? They are my life. I live under their guise. I obey them. Now, let me go back. I want you to say these words with me. God is on the move. Would you say that all over out there? God is on the move. Say it with me. God is on the move. God is on the move. Now, I'm waiting for the phone to ring. 704-391-0588. 391-0588. Easy to say. Jordan, call it quickly. I want to talk to you. I want to hear from you. I want to answer your question. I want to hear somebody say, I understand those seven things, and I see them also. Does anybody out there see them? I think you do. I'm not sure you've thought about it. I hope you memorize them. Now, you remember, God is on the move, and one other thing you need to remember, it's time to go. Getting ready to go. Getting ready to go. I said, getting ready to go. If you're not ready, I pray before God that you'll get ready. If you're not ready, I pray before God that you'll get ready. It's later than you think. Do you understand? It's later than you think. And God has given all of you wicked people, sinners, unsaved, good people in many cases, good moral people. God's given you an opportunity. All right, a call's coming in. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, Brother Chambers, I met you a number of years ago at Midnight Call
meeting. Okay, yes, Midnight Call.
Yeah, in Myrtle Beach.
Myrtle Beach.
I just picked up the last 15 minutes of your program, and I wondered in the 7 points that you shared earlier, did you talk about this homosexual thing?
You know, I talked about it in this way. I said the first thing God is doing, he's judging wickedness. I said, but the worst sin I can describe for you is killing unborn babies. I talked about abortion and the baby killing industry. And then I added, I didn't go into homosexuality and lesbianism. That's part of it. I'm always glad to say it. I say it often. But today I just dealt with wickedness as a whole and killing unborn. I believe what's happened to the world in this case is the killing of unborn babies.
Yes.
And I believe homosexuality and lesbianism and transvestite and all of that fits right in. It just happened. I mean, killing unborn babies to me is the most. See, that's what brought Israel to judgment, was feeding their children to Moloch.
Yeah.
So I use the children and the abortion because that to me is worse. A person who is a homosexual has chosen that lifestyle. They'll pay for it. But aborting babies is an American lifestyle. We're all paying for it.
I agree. And then those children that are allowed to be born are sent off to schools at an early age and taught to live a perverted life.
You're exactly right. Our schools are hotbeds for lesbianism and homosexuality.
Yes, it is.
Hotbeds. I've said it many times, and I keep saying it. And people are so caught up in the world, they aren't paying me no attention. Number one was sin and God's judgment. God's cup of wrath is full, friend. God's cup of wrath is running over at the top. It's over in the saucer, and now it's running out of the saucer. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
That's how bad it is. Number two is God's reaching for the sinner. These are wicked people. God even says that he calls the wicked the precious fruit of the earth. And I said at the beginning of this program, how can God hate sin like he does and love sinners like he does is the greatest mystery in all the Bible. But the sinner that's living like the devil, God still wants to save him.
Amen.
And then number three is the church world. The church world is the biggest mess we got. They've lost their first love. They've moved away from a Holy Ghost-filled lifestyle. The church world is just a bunch of pew warmers.
Entertainment.
Sir?
Entertainment.
Entertainment, anything but an old-fashioned life of holiness. How many churches preach anything about sin? Tell people things you can't do and live right. You know, living right is living by the Bible.
That's true.
You got that?
Yes.
Anything else, my dear brother? I'm so glad you called.
Well, it's good talking to you again, brother.
Oh, it's good talking to you. Now, I'm on here every Saturday from 1 to 2.
I'll be catching you, Lord willing.
Okay, I'm going to look to hear from you.
Okay.
God bless your heart. Someone else, now grab your phone. I want to hear from you. I'd love to have more calls. That was precious. Remember speaking at the prayer conferences, or I should say prophecy conferences at Myrtle Beach. Really loved it. Really loved it. Had great results. The son of the man who runs them said to me some years ago, now get your daddy to invite you again because we have the biggest crowd when you're there. Isn't that nice that somebody would say that to me? I don't deserve it. I'm a live wire, and I enjoy going to those things and speaking, and I stir people up good and get them excited and get them either excited or get them angry, you know, because I lay it on the line. But call me. I got, 4 minutes here? 704-391-0588. Anybody else? Now, while you're calling, now I'm waiting on you. I'm holding the phone so that I don't miss it. That's the only way I cannot miss it. I'm telling you, I want you in church tomorrow. Paul Creek, I've got my pews all separated. We're sanitizing every pew and every part of the building. We got the doors open where nobody has to touch a door. You come in the door under the canopy. You got a place to sanitize your hands. Everybody has to sanitize their hands. We aren't even going to pass the offering plate. We're going to set it on the altar and have it at the back door when you leave. We're going to do things that really make us fitting to all the requirements that are being asked of people by the president and by the governors. I'm just obeying all the rules. I don't like them all. I don't need them all. I'm doing them for you. I'm doing them for those who may feel differently than I. I'm doing it for those who've been, the media will scare you out of your wits. If you're not scared from listening to the media, I can't stand to listen to them. I hear good truth. I hear a bunch of lies. I hear things so overwrought and overstated that they anger me. I was listening to a man on WBT Wednesday, and he was talking about a couple of churches that opened, and all kinds of things happened. People died. Community people died because two churches didn't do it right. And he didn't tell about the hundreds of churches that did it right. He just told the dark side, and they've done that. That's what Democrats and liberals, and Republicans can be liberals too, so forgive me for that. That's what liberals do, is they tell you whatever will get your attention and get you on their side, they won't tell you the whole story. All right, I'm waiting. 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. I'm waiting for another call. I sure would like to have two or three. I like somebody. Do you understand what I've said? Anybody out there that understands what I said, call me and say, I understand. I'm overwhelmed. Two things. Remember now, God is on the move. I want you to think that. God is on the move. Every preacher needs to start saying that. God is acting right now. God is putting us all, this last day thing together. You say that he don't tell the devil what to do. He tells the devil what he can't do. He sets the devil on a time schedule and on a limit schedule. The devil can never pass what God has said. The devil has to get permission for everything he does. But God has a program. And part of what the devil is doing is part of God's program. And God's allowing it for his program's sake. Because the end must be allowed to see both sides. The end must understand all the great truths of God. Any more calls? I'm waiting. I believe I got a call coming here. Let me look at it. Yes, you on the air. May I help you, please? You on the air. May I help you?
Yes. Is this the Chambers?
Yes, you got me.
I'm Jeanette Noble. I'm from Whiteville, North Carolina. I have been listening to the message all the morning.
Are we on WSTS today?
Pardon?
Are we on the radio down there?
Yes, it's on the radio.
Good. I'm glad. I've been working on that.
Everything he said is absolutely true. I've said from the beginning, this is just an act of the devil. That's all it is. God is going to come.
God's going to have the last word, sister.
He's going to have the last word. He says, if you read the Old Testament, it tells you what happened to the people then.
Yes, you're right. I got to go. I love you.
I love you too.
God bless your heart. God bless your heart. A call from Whiteville. Hey, I tell you what, God's a good God. He's a good God. I love you. This is my last minute. I will see you in the morning. Now, you be here Sunday school at 10 o'clock, morning worship at 11. You be here, come in time to come through the line, if there's a line out there, and sanitize your hands. I'm not going to let you in if you don't sanitize your hands. And when you get in here, you got to keep the distance. It's going to be 6 foot as much as possible. I know you pass people, and it's not always perfect, but we'll make it as perfect as we can. Every other pew, they'll have pews marked off with a protection. And don't you come in, try to remove those and change them. I'll come, and I'll take care of it. I'm not going to put up with no junk. I'm telling you, I'm looking for a great day. I love you, I love you, I love you. Woo, I love you, I love you, I love you so much. I love you so much. I love you so much. I'm saved by grace. I like that line.